Will you listen to the word of God found in the first chapter of Philippians? There he is. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, and together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is the best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of the righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become more confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. The word of God for the people of God. Looking back over the crowd, I think there's probably only a few of you left, maybe, that enjoy riding roller coasters still. Who still likes riding roller coasters? Who still gets on the roller coaster? Oh, good, good. You're better than I thought. You know, I'm kind of a take it or leave it kind of person when it comes to roller coasters. I ride them, but I don't get upset if I don't get on them. And part of that is I learned a long time ago, I'm looking at Russ back there, with my height, sometimes I start coming out of the seat. Did you ever have that happen, Russ? Yeah, that kind of made me, I don't trust the restraints anymore, because the lap bar, especially on the older coasters, doesn't come to my lap. And so there are different times when you'd start down the hill, I would be holding onto that bar as hard as I could because I'm standing straight up in the coaster because I came up out of the seat. So I'm not one of those people that puts their hands up. Who puts their hands up when you're riding a roller coaster? Any of you? Just Meg, she's the only one back there. She's shorter than some of us, too. But yeah, I'm not one of those people that does this because I got a hold of the bar to keep myself back in there. So, you know. But I do remember a few years ago, another church, we'd taken some of the youth to Cedar Point. And at that point in time, they had one coaster that was the tallest in the United States at that point in time. And it's not, now they have other ones at Cedar Point that are taller than that, and there's some other places even taller yet. But this one was between 200 and 300 feet tall, the first hill. And it's the initial hill coming out, you start traveling up, and there's treetop level. Then you're at like twice treetop level, and you're approaching three times treetop level. But the perspective, the view you have, you know, you can see the entire park and everything. Then you could look out miles out over Lake Erie. And then I suddenly realized, you know, we're up so high, you can distinguish where the shallow parts and the deep parts are of Lake Erie. You know, the shallow parts would be kind of a nice blue, and then it would turn, you know, and you could tell how the ground under Lake Erie, where it went down or where it went up. And then comes the first hill down, where you pick up amazing speed. And that's part of the ride, until, you know, I look ahead and I see on the tracks, there's a lot of wear on the big curve at the bottom, which made me start wondering, how much wear is there on the rails and the track at the bottom? So that kind of put in my mind a perspective of like, hold on, don't stay in the thing, hope it stays on the tracks, you know. And do you remember moments like that When the ride, except for Meg, because she's got her hands up in the air, you know. The other thing is I was afraid of, and Press probably can relate to this, if our hands are up in the air and you go into a tunnel, you know, you might not have your hands. So, you know, roller coasters, a lot of stuff happens when you go up the hill, a lot of stuff coming down the hill. But life is like a roller coaster. You know, life has its ups and it has its downs. And sometimes we enjoy the slow ride to the top where we're getting a better perspective and we can get a better view of things. Life seems great, but then the downhill parts come. And sometimes the speed at which the downhills come can be a total surprise and a shock. You know, we need to learn to enjoy the thrill of the downhill as much as the ups. You know, if life didn't have both ups and downs, living life would be about as much thrill as being an adult that's stuck on riding a toddler train in the middle of a mall. Think about that. Don't you just stand there at the mall and say, oh, I want to get on that little train and just ride around it a couple, you know, faster, not even as fast as you can walk. And there's no ups, there's no downs. It just goes around the circle. Life would be like that if we didn't have ups and downs. Now, I'm not saying that the downs aren't difficult. They are difficult. Some of them are extremely difficult. But they bring a necessary flavor and growing experience into our lives when we have some of those downs. In the book of Philippians, we find that Paul and Timothy, they're writing back to some people that many would consider that he'd had kind of a down part of his life, downside of his life. And he's writing during that time when he's having a downside. He's in prison in Rome. It was a long journey for him to get there, to be in prison in Rome. He's waiting to have a hearing before Caesar. And it's been 2 years or more before he arrived here and involved a long process of being taken from Jerusalem to Caesarea and then held there for a long time without any hope of being released, where he eventually appealed to Caesar. And he'd been beaten before that, and then he was sent to Rome, sailing on a ship, bad weather, shipwrecked. They get on shore, build a fire, it's nearing wintertime. He gets bit by a poisonous snake. All these things happen with him just getting to Rome. And he even writes back, I think it's in Corinthians, he writes about the different things he's experienced in his life, the downsides, the time that the coaster is heading downhill fast. Been in prison more than once, flogged 5 times, 3 times beaten with rods, stoned, left for dead, 3 times shipwrecked, not just the 1 time going to Rome, but it says 3 times he was shipwrecked. How many of you like to be shipwrecked? You know, where the ship just totally breaks apart and you get grounded on the beach and you don't know where you are. 3 times shipwrecked. This is some of the stuff, the downsides that Paul has experienced. But he's thinking back on these people in Philippi, and he says, I give thanks for you every time I think about you. What he's saying is, I raise my hands on the downhill side. Because think about who he's writing back. If you look in Acts and you find where he arrives in Philippi, who is he writing to? He's writing back to a woman named Lydia. He met her when he and Silas went down by the river to pray, and she was there, and she was a maker of purple cloth, and they shared the gospel with her, and she takes them back and is a hostess to them the whole time they're in Philippi. That's the house that they lived in. He's writing back to her, this woman that cared so much for him during that time. He might be writing back to a slave girl that we're told about that would follow him around, that she had some spirit of divination upon her where she'd foretell the future and her owners would make her tell the future for money. And she's following Paul and Silas around saying, these people are servants of God. They're going to tell you how Jesus can save you. And And she did that for a few days, and Paul got annoyed with that. And next thing you know, Paul says, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. He delivers her from the demon. We don't know if she was saved or not, but he could have been writing back to her. Now, her owners were pretty upset because they can't make money off of her anymore. So they had Paul and Silas beaten and thrown in prison. If you know the story, Paul and Silas said at midnight, they're praying, they got their hands up in the air, coming over the hill again. They're on a downhill slope, but they're like Meg. She's going over the hill, feeling that extra rush. And they're praising God, and God's spirit falls, and there's an earthquake, and the chains are broken, and the jailer thinks they've all escaped, and he'd be put to death. He's about to kill himself, and Paul and Silas said, "Don't do anything, we're still here." And he brings Paul and Silas into his house. He treats their wounds and their backs from their beating. He gives them food. And then he accepts Jesus Christ. These are some of the people Paul writes back to in Philippi, saying, "I thank my God every time I remember you." And then he pretty much says, "You know, remember what happened in Philippi? God's doing it again. My imprisonment, just like with you, the jailer, is spreading the gospel through the whole Praetorian Guard." You can see Paul's got his hands up on this ride, on this downhill ride. "My imprisonment is working out to advance the gospel. It is spreading the gospel through the whole Praetorian Guard." The Praetorian Guard was the special, it would be like our Secret Service. They were the ones who guarded Caesar and his family. Paul would not have had an audience with them had he not been there. But now he's got them being assigned to watch him. And so he's telling them all about Jesus, and they're all accepting Christ. And he's basically saying, "Hey, hands in the air, God's doing it again. We're spreading this through the whole, you know, the downward slope. God's glory is being revealed." And at the end of the book, he even says that there are even some in Caesar's household who are believers. He can rejoice, he says, if you read on, he can rejoice, he said, "For me to live is Christ, or to die is gain." What, you know, whatever this downward slope is, it's good. Something good's happening. Sometimes we need to glance back to see what's happening now, to remember some of the hills and where God was there, that where we could put our hands up. Paul was glancing back to Philippi, writing to them and saying, "I remember what God did. And he's doing it again. He's doing it again." So the question for us is, how do we deal with the downhill moments in our own lives? I think I've shared before, Winston Churchill, I think it is, who said, "In every difficulty, there is an opportunity. In every opportunity, there's a difficulty." The optimist will look for what opportunities are presented to you in every situation. Paul saw the gospel spreading to a group he normally would not have an opportunity to preach to. And I happened to think about this morning. You know about the Great Depression, right? I'm going to ask you, do you remember what years the Great Depression were? What? 33? Early. Some in that range. Do you know what happened during that time? The Empire State Building was built. The Empire State Building was built during the Great Depression. There's an opportunity in every difficulty. Can you look through the eyes of faith and see where God might use your downhill moments? You know, I shared with you last week that sometimes when you're working on your sermons, you get convicted by what God's given you. And this was another one of those things. About 3 weeks ago, we were on our way down to Oakmont in Verona for our granddaughter's birthday party. And we were on the turnpike driving Ann's van. We got about 4 miles or so from the exit. Looked down the dash and the light comes on, you know, a little graph, and low tire pressure, you know, your right front tire, 28 pounds. Thought, okay, No, it's 26 pounds. 24 pounds. 22 pounds. And I'm thinking, I don't want to deal with a tire. I'm like, I don't even know where you lower down the spare on this van. And so, I'm driving as best I can to try to get the exit because I know there's a sheets right there and they have free air. And so, goes flying down right through. I get into the sheets and we're at 16 pounds of pressure. So I got out and I put the air hose up to like 45 pounds and stuck it on there and let it go till it beeped. And we knew there was a garage just a couple of miles down the road because Ann had been there before. So I got back in the car and it was at 28 pounds. Remember, I'd set it at 45. 28 pounds, 26 pounds. And just to get the 2 miles down to that place, we were at like 16 pounds when we pulled in. So we're pulled in there, and I'm talking with the people about what they could do to fix the tire and trying to get somebody from the party to come over pick us up. And I get a phone call from our daughter that had our other car. And she said, the transmission's not acting right on this. It doesn't have reverse, and, it's not shifting. And I'm like, I can't talk to you. I got a breakdown right now, And then God said, remember this message you're working on about the ups and the downs? Can you raise your hands? And so I was like, I got convicted on that, And I had to spend some time just saying, okay, God, I'm putting my hands up. I don't know what this is going on here, but changed my mindset, though. Instead of being frustrated and upset about, oh, I got all these things happening. And it took my mind off the focus with a curve at the bottom that has wear. It took my mind off of more what God might be doing right now. And I didn't really know what he was doing, but it helped me raise my hands. So about an hour or so later, they called, said the car was ready, and went back and to pick it up. And I found I had an opportunity to pray with the woman that was behind the desk we talked to before. I don't know what ever became of that. But maybe a seed was planted where something could change. Maybe it was a seed planted in me that something would change. But every move we make matters, that butterfly effect. So later then, my wife and I drove the car with a transmission issue. It ran fine the whole way home. Ran fine. It still got an issue though, but it ran fine the whole way home from Oakmont. So how are you dealing with the ups and downs in your life? Are your hands up to enjoy the ride? Maybe you're facing a downhill side in your life right now. Do you feel like you may be in chains to some issue or circumstance? Like Paul in Rome. Maybe you're feeling right now your life has more downslopes than upslopes. If you're feeling like you've gone through some downslopes, would you just put your hand up for a second? I want you to take a look around. Keep your hands up. See the people with their hands up. As we go to prayer here in a minute, I want you to pray for the other people. Because, Paul writes back, but it's not, it says Paul and Timothy. Paul and Timothy. The ride's a whole lot more fun when you have someone riding with you. So as we come to our closing hymn, if you want to come up front and kneel at the altar and pray, you're welcome to do that. But if remember to pray for the people you saw around you that are dealing with some downslopes in their lives. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are beside us and that you can do it again. You can create something glorious out of something that may seem heartbreaking. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, remember, the ride's more fun when you take a friend with you. So don't ride alone through the downslopes. Share it with someone. And if you see someone else going through a downslope, strap yourself in to the seat beside them. Raise your hands. praise and pray together that God might do it again, that he might be glorified. So may you go in the grace, the peace, and the love of Jesus Christ, who rides with you, who walks with you, the one who will bring you through the dark moments and the good moments. May you give him glory throughout the day in Jesus' name.